Yo, Thought Warriors! What is up? Higher Learning is on. It is I, Van Lathan Jr.
And it's me, Rachel Lynn Lindsay.
Let's get right to the point. Gosh. Rachel got what she wanted.
That's not even funny, Van.
I was depressed all weekend long.
And I felt...
Death of Mountain Lion.
And I felt really bad for you.
Yeah, but this is what you said. You spoke into the existence of the world.
Donnie, did you find the tape yet where I allegedly said these things?
Said she wanted P-22 dead.
Okay, please stop saying that. I actually felt really bad for you. And honestly, too, because there seemed to be options for P-22. Mm-hmm. And, you know, when we first talked about the fact that they were going to bring him in, it seemed like it was going to take weeks. Then it seemed like it was going to take a while for them to decide what they were going to do. And it all just happened very fast. Yeah. So I was very shocked.
I know you were. I'm just...
And I told you, I'm going to excuse this because you're in mourning. So I'm going to excuse you acting out and accusing me of things we both know aren't true because I know you're upset.
People remember. That's okay. So, you know, so we're going to bring Beth Pratt. We're going to bring Beth Pratt back on the show to talk to us about P-22 and the fact that a celebrity mountain lion, a mascot for LA's natural world, was unfortunately euthanized over the weekend. And, you know, a lot of people hit me up when this happened.
Of course.
Because we've been talking about mountain lion for years now. And it started off as... something to be aware of, something to be afraid of. Started off as a joke, as a way to get under your skin. But I actually have come to understand why it's something that I've been so drawn to.
I would love to hear.
Growing up, it was like nature all around me. You know, growing up in Maringouin, growing up in Louisiana, it's like nature everywhere, right? Mm-hmm. The wild turkey, the deer, the snake, the black bear. You know
really?
What I mean? Yeah, Louisiana black bear. They got American and stuff like that. And in Louisiana, there's this like there's this sort of, and not everybody goes through this, by the way. You could ask right now some of these dudes about catching a fish or whatever. I'm not telling you that Webby knows how to deer hunt. You know what I'm saying? I'm not saying that. But it's like for me, my people are country. Mm-hmm. So being that they're country, there was this understanding of like nature.
I get it.
And what you had to do and how you had to be and how you had to act. Mm-hmm. Like you drive past sugarcane and my dad would be like, that sugarcane is overgrown. They need to come harvest their cane. Right? Or it'd be like, oh, you see him harvesting, and my dad would be like, yo, that's not quite ready to go yet. They need to leave it a little bit, you know. Like, nature was a part of our life. It was a thing that you didn't, like, go do. It was a thing that you lived with. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And I lost that when I came to California.
Yep.
Nature's like Disneyland sometimes. It's like... something that you go endeavor to. It's like you have to go and you have to find it. Meanwhile, for a lot of my life, it was just a part of it. These were things that you learned. This was stuff that you understood. There were, like, you going out, there are plants that you learn. Hey, don't touch that. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. You know, it make you sick. Hey, you catch a fish, and my dad would be looking at the fish. He'd be like, here, I never forget, me and my friend Robert, we went fishing in the creek that was in the subdivision. My dad was like, don't eat the fish out of there. And I was like, why? He's like, just don't eat the fish out of there, I can tell. We went and caught a bunch of fish. We came back. We wanted to cut the fish open, show him he was wrong, cut the fish off, fish full of worms. You know what I mean? And just like there were things that he knew about nature. Mm-hmm. And when we started talking about mountain lion and I started getting into different things and looking at it, it kind of reminded me of like home. It reminded me that there's places where animals, they run free and they have a good time and they live their animal lives. You might drive down the street and see a bunch of buzzards flying around because something died, and it's just a part of it. And P-22 was like, he was forcing that on so many people. He was forcing them to confront and come to terms with nature. He was making, it was almost like nature was saying, hey, we're still here, you know? And it became meaningful for me, like, as I try to understand the natural world. Like, I want wolves and mountain lions and other animals, even snakes, to be okay. I don't want to see a snake. I don't want to see a wolf. I don't think I want to see mountain lion. But I want, like, if I saw P-22, God rest his soul, we're going to have Beth on a little bit later. If I saw P-22, I'd shit myself.
Sure.
But I don't know, man. I was legitimately sad that this amazing cat, this special cat, passed away.
When you break it down like that, it makes all the sense in the world. It reminded you of home. It was nostalgic for you, or he was nostalgic for you. I didn't have that. I grew up in the city. I moved to another city. The only taste of that I got is when we would go to my grandmother's house in Beeville and be on the farm. Mm-hmm. And growing up, there was cattle. We would go to the rodeo. There were a couple of horses. But I didn't grow up like my dad, where right. he woke up first thing in the morning and was all about farm life. Like, mm-hmm. my dad was in FFA and all of that. And all of that stuff. So I don't have those type of experiences. But I get that. That makes sense.
Yeah. Aww. Horses and all of that different stuff. Just having it, you know. And then I think as I watch all these nature shows, and also I get too into things. I think everybody knows that. I watch all these nature shows. I think, you know, people, I look around at all of this stuff that we got. And this stuff is great. Different cameras and all of this stuff. And it's like, it's amazing, but there's a cost. There's a cost to the natural world. And I think that it's worth talking about. Obviously, we need homes for people, and we need stuff, and we need cars, and we need all of this stuff. But I think it's worth discussing the cost. So this is what I'm going to do. I'm going to donate $3,000 to the Wolf Connection in Santa Clarita on behalf of P22.
And how did you choose this?
Because one of our thought warriors asked me if I'd ever heard of the Wolf Connection. And I hadn't, okay? I hadn't talked about or heard of the Wolf Connection. I didn't know what was going on. But apparently, when I donate, when I sponsor a wolf, this is what you can do. It's wolf sponsorship. So for $100, you can be an awakened heart wolf, where you get a certificate with a bio and a photo of a wolf, which is nice.
I'm looking at it, yeah.
You can be $500, you can be an ancestral wolf, a certificate with a bio and a photo of a wolf and a thank you video. My thing is this. You get a thank you video, is it from the wolf? Do they have the wolves? Do they know how to say thank you? Whatever. And then for $3,000, which is where I thought I could go, you get to become a human wolf. And you get a certificate with the bio and photo, a thank you video, a personalized plaque hung on the habitat of my chosen wolf, and a private visit to the Wolf Connection. Now, then you got mythological wolf, primal wolf, and all the rest of these wolves. It's like, look, I love the wolf. I'm not to the $50,000, $10,000.
You know, it's going to take time.
It's going to take time.
I'm looking at their website, which I think is a wonderful thing that you're doing. Mm-hmm. And they have events. And you can do Walk with the Wolf Pack.
I don't know if I want to.
Why?
What if the wolf attacks?
Well, I would imagine that seeing how they do these every month.
I don't trust the wolf, I'll be honest with you. I love the wolf.
Run with the pack. You can run with the pack too.
Hell no. First of all, if I run right now, the jiggle factor is going to make any wolf think there's a meal.
We don't need to go.
Now, see, if you run with the wolf is going to be like, oh, my God, she looks like she's one of us. She's all lean. You know who the wolf would want to run with? The wolf would love to run with Brian. Brian looks like a wolf nigga. Like, Brian looks like, if there was a movie called Wolf Man about a man that lived with wolves, that's how he would look. He would look like Brian. He would look all lean. Brian,
No, he would look like Jason Momoa. Brian's too clean cut.
Jason Momoa is too big. He's too swole to be with the wolf people because there's not enough food for you to be that swole. That's why when Tarzan is swole, it's stupid. Because, first of all, Tarzan's super racist. But if Tarzan was, Tarzan would be super duper lean if that was the case. But Brian, look at Wolfman. I don't look like Wolfman. I look like the prey for the wolf. I'm like Elephant Man. So if I run with the wolf gonna be like, oh shit, look at that ass. Like, let's take a chunk out of that rump roast. Aww. So they're all different types of wolves that I could sponsor here. There's Annie, Honora, Bella, Charlie, Daisy, which looks like an amazing wolf, Gemma, Hove, JC, definitely won't be sponsoring Hove, JC, Jax, Kanai, Coda, Leo, which is a very handsome wolf, Luna, Max, Matt. Okay, it's a lot of wolves. Okay, I'm not going to read
Kanai, look at
Willow,
him.
Willow, the wolf. Wolfie, the wolf.
I think
Wiley.
Wolves are so pretty.
Zion. Okay, so I'm going to I'm gonna donate something to Wolf Connection in honor of P22. I'm sure that there's a mountain lion situation somewhere. And if you guys bring up this is a special
mountain
lion.
Yeah, I'm surprised that you're not, but I like that you're doing it.
It's because I think that it's to benefit wild animals, period. Okay?
Okay.
How was the show last night? How was the Dave Chappelle show?
Woo! It was good, I'm not going to lie.
You liked it?
I liked it a lot. Okay, there were four comedians. First one was white, and the first thing he said was, I know y'all are wondering, what the fuck is this white guy doing up here? Mm-hmm. He worked the room.
What was his name?
Which I think... Rich Ingram?
Rich Ingram?
I'm so saying this wrong. Something like that.
Rich the Kid?
Something like that. He worked the room. He pointed out people in the audience, which I think is a skill since you never know who's going to be there. And I thought he was really funny. Then they had Darnell Rawlings.
Donnell. Not Darnell, Donnell.
Donnell Rawlings.
Donnell Rawlings, yeah.
I think Donnell's really funny. Mm-hmm. But... And I knew that things would be inappropriate, but it was bad.
What do you mean it was bad?
Like, nobody was off limits. There's one thing where you talk about, you know, something in the culture or, you know, and you make it funny.
I'm preparing a salad.
Is that how it made you feel?
I'll eat it later.
Is that how it made you feel?
Yeah. So go ahead.
He was talking about Indian people, the way they talk. It was too much. Somebody was standing up at one point and walking back to their seat. He called them a terrorist. Like, nobody laughed. It was kind of like, okay, where's the joke in that? It's not even funny. It was too much. And he kept saying, I can't tell these jokes because I'm going to get canceled.
That's his thing. It's like, too soon.
What was funny when he came? Those were so funny.
Donnell Rawlings is one of the funniest comedians working. Yeah,
but and I've seen him before. I've seen him at an improv before. But this was like, okay, this isn't even you. It's not because of the times. This is just a little too much. What was funny, however, is he came out to the song "Nigga Ain't Worried About Nothing," and he was holding a microphone and he put the microphone in front of white people and be like, I'm waiting for you to sing.
Yeah.
So that's how he came in. So it was funny. Chris was good. He addressed the Will Smith situation, called him Suge Smith. Said, listen, we all know he didn't hit me over what I said. We all know that wasn't the issue. And so he talked about, he hit me because the way he was feeling, he was like, did y'all see the way the situation his wife put him in? It's basically what he was talking about. And he said, did you see the way he was looking when they were on Red Table Talk? He said, everybody was out here calling him a bitch. I didn't call him a bitch, but he decided to take it out on me. So he talked about that. He's good. He was funny. Black Star performed. It was great.
Shout out to Black
Most Star. Def.
Talib Kweli.
They were great. That was a surprise. And then Chappelle came on. And he was good. Chris Rock stayed on longer than he did. But Chappelle was good, effortless. He brought Mos Def on because they were telling knock knock jokes about Gunna. Wait. Knock knock.
Who's there?
Gunna.
Gunna who?
Gonna be home in time for Christmas. This is the kind of stuff they were saying. It wasn't even a part of the show. They were like, we're glad Gunna's home. You know, we like Gunna, but we got to tell y'all about these jokes. So they kept doing stuff like that. It was so funny. Mos Def made a song. Instead of Silver Bells, he called it Gunna Tell. I'm sorry.
That's not funny though, man. Like, why y'all making it? Go, well, that's not, see what I'm saying? Like, y'all, but you know what's gonna happen? You know what's gonna happen with this?
We didn't have our phones, and they specifically were like, dude, y'all don't have your phones, right?
So it was like, gonna tell. So let me tell you. So let me tell you something about that. Let me tell you what's gonna happen. Everyone that's piling on Gunna and saying that Gunna is a snitch or saying whatever, which, whatever, right? All y'all going to do is create a Will Smith situation with Gunna to where Gunna is going to feel like that he has to do something that everybody, this is the thing we don't understand.
What do you mean got to do something?
So, I'm not saying Gunna is the biggest fucking G in the world, right? Mm-hmm. But he's still a man from a certain place, right? So being that he's a man from a certain place, the entirety of the internet, like calling him a rat and making fun of him, I'm not saying that we shouldn't. I'm not saying that you can't. Hold on. First of all, I am saying that we shouldn't. I'm not saying that you can't. I'm just saying... Chris Rock was just on the stage basically saying that he got slapped because of Will Smith's trauma. My thing is, what is the trauma that we are creating now for Gunna gonna make Gunna have to do?
I do want
to
be clear.
Gunna gonna have to do something now. He gonna have to do something, smack the shit out of somebody, no. Pull a gun on somebody, do something, because he not gonna be able to make music because everybody say Gunna a snitch.
Well, one thing I want to say about Chris Rock is he repeatedly said in his act he is not a victim. He's like, I am not a victim. Don't put that on me. And he talked about that. When Dave Chappelle came back on stage, or when Chappelle came on stage, he said, I saw Chris Rock's act. Let me tell you something. That nigga's a victim. He was funny. He kept talking about Chris Rock's show. The reason I really think, and we talked about this with Glasses, the reason I think people are coming even harder at Gunna is because he put out that statement before. Then the video came out that contradicted it. So it was like, oh, nobody thought that he'd said anything. Nobody thought, it was like he was trying to come out on top of it. He was trying to fix it before it happened, or people maybe never would find out it happened. They would have talked about him anyway. You're right. Yeah. But I think the lie made it worse because it was almost like, oh, you know you did this and now you're going to lie on it too.
So I just don't.
And I hope he doesn't act on it. I hope he doesn't feel like, oh, I got to do this to get respect, because I don't think that would help the situation at all.
Okay.
Somebody's going to make music with him.
We'll see what happens. I mean, I think he'll be fine. I just, there's so much still about the YSL case that we don't know, man. There's still so much about the YSL case that we don't know. And depending on what happens, you guys, I just wish that the entire bullshit street code nonsense was just fucking evaporate, dog. You know, anyway. So we're going to talk later on to Beth Pratt. P22 is compassionately euthanized after his health evaluation. We're going to talk to Beth Pratt in a little while, but we're going to come back on the other side of this with the big deal of the day.
Are you looking for a view of the world that's a bit different? Hi, I'm Jason Palmer, a host of The Weekend Intelligence, a podcast from The Economist. Join us to hear the stories that matter most to our correspondents and editors. Every Saturday, we introduce you to people and ideas that take you outside the ordinary and expand your horizons one episode at a time. Join us and see the world from a new perspective. To listen free until May 31st, search Spotify for The Weekend Intelligence.
Politics time! January 6th committee.
Mm-hmm. Still kidding.
Has approved criminal referrals against President Donald Trump for his role in trying to overturn the 2020 election. The House committee investigating January 6th, accused former President J. Trump, on Monday of inciting insurrection, conspiracy to defraud the United States, obstruction of an act of Congress, and one more federal crime, as it referred him to the Justice Department for potential prosecution. The panel referred five other Trump allies, that's Mark Meadows, his chief of staff, Rudy Giuliani, the guy who tried to get a blowjob on a movie, in case you guys forgot, one of Trump's lawyers, John Eastman, Jerry Clark, and Kenneth Cheesebro for potential prosecutions for actions the committee said warranted the Justice Department investigation. The charges would carry lengthy prison sentences if federal prosecutors chose to pursue them. Representative Jamie Raskin represents Maryland. He led the January 6th subcommittee that examined the referral, spoke on the evidence.
Anyone who incites others to engage in rebelling, assists them in doing so, or gives aid and comfort to those engaged in insurrection is guilty of a federal crime. The committee believes that more than sufficient evidence exists for a criminal referral of former President Trump for assisting or aiding and comforting those at the Capitol who engaged in a violent attack on the United States.
Mike Pence spoke with Fox News on the DOJ and on Trump. Let's give Mike Pence his say.
But when it comes to the Justice Department's decision about bringing charges in the future, I would hope that they would not bring charges against the former president. As I wrote in my book, I think the president's actions and words on January 6th were reckless. But I don't know that it's criminal to take bad advice from lawyers. Mm-hmm. And so I hope the Justice Department is careful.
There might be criminal referrals on that, too. Well, we'll see on that.
Well, but Dana, I want to say I hope the Justice Department understands the magnitude of the very idea of indicting a former president of the United States. I think that would be terribly divisive in the country.
Rachel? Seems to be two different schools of thought here. One school of thought is that no one is above the law and that President Trump inciting this was such a blight on our country that he must be brought to justice. And Merrick Garland should throw a book at him. Mm-hmm. The other is, well, the country is as divided as it's ever been. And prosecuting the president would make it even more divided. What do you think?
I don't think it's going to make it even more divided than it already is, him being prosecuted. I think people have drawn a line in the sand and they think what they think on Trump regardless. Here's my question. This is a criminal referral, right, by the committee, which it's great that they're still doing, you know, all the research, all the investigation, you know, to really show that what was done on January 6th was wrong, was criminal.
Wrong.
And I appreciate them for that. However, being that it is a criminal referral to the DOJ, if the DOJ, who's also doing their own investigation, right? The FBI, they're doing their own investigation on all this. If they decline to prosecute Trump, does that discredit what the January 6th committee is doing? And I say this because a part of me feels like, this is going to sound so bad. Is this a criminal referral? Is it even worth it? Or is it just, it's like to me, because it doesn't mean anything, right?
What do you think the purpose of the January 6th committee was?
To find out if not just Trump, but all those surrounding it, if something criminal was done.
So,
or who was in the, yeah, criminal that was done.
So you think the purpose of the January 6th committee was to,
okay. Go ahead. So, and to show the public, mm-hmm. right? Because there's at the time and thereafter, you know, people had all these differing opinions and it was like, you know what, we're going to come together. We're going to show you the facts. We're going to do a proper investigation. We're going to present this to the public. And I think it was also so the public could be aware of this is what went down by this person, by that person, what wasn't done, what was done, who had a hand in it, who didn't. And at the end of the day, we can present all this information because hopefully if there was something that was done wrong mm-hmm. or there was something that was done criminal, then the justice can be done.
So the January 6th House Select Committee to investigate the January 6th attack on the United States Capitol is a bipartisan select committee of the U.S. House of Representatives established to investigate the January 6th United States Capitol attack perpetrated by a mob of supporters of then-President Donald Trump. So if the purpose of the January 6th committee is to investigate that, that could lead them to or not lead them to culpability to Donald Trump. It's just their job to look into it.
I know. But if the DOJ doesn't act on it, it gives to me, it's going to give voice to the side of, see, y'all did all of this and then nothing was even done. I'm not saying that they shouldn't be, the committee shouldn't exist. I just fear, I guess, when you learn, oh, they did, you know, it's breaking news today, a criminal referral that Donald Trump should be prosecuted on four different things. What are those four different things?
Look at the four things that Donald Trump should be prosecuted
on. The four different things. Hold on. I just had it up. Inciting or assisting an insurrection, obstruction of an official proceeding of Congress, conspiracy to defraud the United States, and conspiracy to make a false statement. So this criminal referral doesn't have any legal weight. Mm-hmm. It is more, it's something that's never been done mm-hmm. with a president before. It's a suggestion based off of all the things that have come about with their investigation. Mm-hmm. If the DOJ doesn't prosecute, what does that say?
I would think that if the DOJ, I don't think that politics should be motivating in the DOJ's decision to
it
prosecute
shouldn't.
At all.
That's why they're separate branches.
Right. So I don't think that this should be, so to the point of if the DOJ doesn't prosecute, what does, that's going to give rise to the other side who says that shouldn't be a concern, in my opinion.
It shouldn't, but that's where we are as a country.
Well, I think that people are underestimating the decision that Merrick Garland has to make. If you ask me, I think that there's clearly criminal intent mm-hmm. on behalf of Trump and his cronies on January 6th to impede the peaceful transfer of power in the country.
Sure.
I think that if you pay attention to the January 6th committee, you know that there was conversations that were happening before yep. and after that, to me, are incriminating. Some of the stuff doesn't directly involve Donald Trump. It involves a lot of tentacles around him, but some of it doesn't directly involve him. The question is, does Merrick Garland think that he can get a conviction on Donald Trump
sure.
for some of this stuff? Because you're talking about it being a bad situation if Merrick Garland attempts to prosecute,
doesn't prosecute
Trump. You know what the worst situation is? If he prosecutes Donald Trump and Trump beats it.
Mm-hmm.
That is a much worse situation of an emboldened sort of sperm-filled demon.
So it's almost lose-lose.
It's not. It depends on the facts as the DOJ sees them, and politics shouldn't play a role in
it. It shouldn't.
Yeah.
But like, let's just be honest, because even when people talk about it, they talk about the consequences of, you know, if Merrick Garland does prosecute, what this means that this is happening to a president. Like that, you're right. It shouldn't. There shouldn't be politics, but there is. The reason I say lose-lose is because if he doesn't prosecute, there's going to be this whole narrative. They're already doing it. Oh, criminal referral. It doesn't have any weight. That's the equivalent of an American citizen referral. These are literal things that they're saying. Not true, but that's what they're saying. So the narrative is already being put out there. So I say lose-lose because if he doesn't prosecute, that's going to happen. If he does prosecute and he loses, you're saying it's even worse, which I would agree with. The only win in is if he prosecutes and wins.
Yeah, I mean, look, there's all kinds of things that go. If you prosecute Donald Trump, if you're looking at this from the standpoint of what's good for the left, then
I'm talking about as a whole.
I know. I think the best thing, if the January 6th event is not litigated, is not inspected, is not pulled out from the root, it will happen again.
Agree.
If it will absolutely happen again. I happen to believe that it doesn't matter how many baked Alaskas that you put in jail. It doesn't matter how many horn-wearing idiots that you put in jail. I happen to believe that if some of the guys at the top, some of the big fish don't fry here,
right.
that it doesn't send a strong enough message.
Right.
The question is, on its merit, what kind of case against President Trump does DOJ have? And I think that should be the only thing that is that God's Merrick Garland into making the decision about whether or not he prosecutes. It shouldn't be 2024. It shouldn't be how people feel. It shouldn't be about what the purpose of the Select Committee was. The purpose of the Select Committee was to investigate it. If they investigated and they found that someone said, this is what we're going to do, fine. If they investigated and someone said, hey, this is what happened, this, and I don't know what to do about it, fine. If there's something in the middle, then leave it up to the lawyers.
I do believe, when you asked me the purpose of the January 6th committee and I was saying it, I do believe that part of it was for us, was for the citizens, was to, a report was going to be put out there so we could also know, the people. And it's, I don't believe the investigation was just to find, just solely to find if there was something criminal. I do believe that as well, but I really do believe it was to be transparent to the public of what happened that day, because we witnessed it in real time, which is why I also have this opinion of how the people will react to this. That's also why I made it very clear that they're doing the committee is doing their criminal referral, but let's not forget the DOJ and the FBI are doing a total separate investigation. So I don't even know if the criminal referral to the DOJ has any bearing on the ultimate decision that the DOJ will make, because they're doing their own investigation. I just think that when you read through the exact definition, it's a part of what they were always going to do. So I think it's important to separate the two, because you're going to hear the other side saying, oh, what they're doing has no weight. Doesn't really matter, because there are two other groups that are doing their own investigation here on Donald Trump.
Did you buy any of Donald Trump's NFTs?
I think it's sold out. I missed the mark.
You didn't get it. Is Ashley here? Ashley, what the fuck, man?
I'm here. Yeah.
Ashley, what's your deal, dog? You don't fuck with us? Like, you don't want to talk?
No. You don't call on her. I got it, Ashley. You don't call on her.
Ashley, you're going to let... Whoa.
You didn't call on her.
Ashley, can I be real with you?
Yes.
You going to let somebody else speak for you? Trudy would
don't
never.
Don't flip it. We're don't friends. Flip it. And don't compare her to Trudy.
Trudy would never. What did you do this weekend, Ashley?
Went for karaoke.
Okay, tell us about this. Who'd you go with?
What's your karaoke go-to song also?
Bohemian Rhapsody. Yeah.
What a fantastic choice.
That's whack.
It is just to get the crowd and everybody getting a little high, like getting people out of their chairs. It gets everyone excited. So,
oh, you really can sing.
So I
That's
got
a
two different
bold song.
I got two different karaoke songs. It depends on the audience. I got a code switch of karaoke.
Okay, what's your code switch? I'm so curious.
So if I'm around the people who Ashley probably was hanging out with, the whites. If I'm around them, who came directly at you? You said nothing. If I'm around them,
you weren't wrong though.
Then I did see. Here you go. Then I do Gold by Spandau Ballet. Have you ever heard that song?
No.
You are gold. Always believe in your soul. You've got the power to know you're indestructible. Always believe it, because you are gold.
And that gets the crowd going?
Nah, I just like, they don't really know the song, but I can do whatever I want. You know what I'm saying? But if I'm with my people, there's only one karaoke song.
And what is that?
This is how we do it.
That could go both ways.
This is, wow.
That song?
Yeah.
Would be a hit on either side. But tell me, Ashley.
You're right.
As somebody who frequents with the other side, we both do.
White people love that song.
White people love This Is How We Do It?
Yes, that's right up there with Go, Go, Go.
What's that?
Go, Shorty. It's your birthday.
What's that?
They love that song too. Sing? British people love that song. Mostly.
British people love what? In the Club?
Mine is Wannabe, Spice Girls.
Ooh.
That's your karaoke song?
It's a hit with the. Is it not, Ashley?
It's a hit.
I don't like, can I be honest with you? I don't like white karaoke though.
Okay, you really got into your gold song.
But that was a long time ago. Just talking about this makes me feel a certain way. I don't want to.
You want to go karaoke?
I want to go karaoke, but with all black people.
We can do that.
And we can't. It's all black people, and we can only do New Edition songs, and we have to dance.
I love this.
Donnie, do you like New Edition?
I love New Edition.
Yeah, nigga, you look like a member of the group.
I haven't done karaoke in years. Rusty.
You know what I love about that?
Mm-hmm.
Is nobody asked him. Like, you know what I'm saying? It's like what I love about that is I asked Donnie if he like New Edition. You know what I mean? But we purposely didn't include Donnie in our karaoke conversation as Rachel goes
to. Yeah, see, that's fucked up.
Well, I'm just saying, like, nobody asked you about your karaoke situation because we know based upon your opinion on Herschel Walker that you're all over the place with karaoke. You feel me? But Trump had a major announcement, and it was that he was selling NFTs.
Yes.
The NFT collection. He made some crazy amount of money, millions of dollars, $4 million in NFTs.
Y'all are stupid.
Trump is just running these motherfuckers' pockets.
He knows,
man.
His audience. He knows his. Who would have known?
Trump is running these motherfucking pockets.
Can't be mad at him for that.
$99.
I know. $99 each in 12 hours. $4.45 million.
Thursday by Trump included 45,000 cards with bizarre illustrations.
Bizarre.
As an astronaut, a cowboy, and a race car driver. An astronaut, a cowboy, is a race car driver. President of the United States. Trump is just doing this thing. Crazy shit. Y'all keep running these dumbasses' pockets. Keep running the shit up. You're going to need it, dog, because you're going to jail. All right, let's take a break. When we come back, we will talk a little bit more about P22, the cat that changed the entire state, with Beth Pratt on the other side of this break. Guys, there was monumental news over the weekend. I know that the community here at Higher Learning is aware. I know that most people that follow the story are aware. LA's beloved mountain lion, P22, was euthanized, was sent to the forest in the sky. His injuries and his quality of life were too affected by some things that had happened recently. And P22 is gone. However, despite the fact that I was very sad, it's like so much sadder than I thought that I was going to be at the news. And so many people were so sad. We brought Beth Pratt back on to talk to us because I think it's very important to talk about the life of P22, what P22 meant to so many people, and why so many people are moved at the life of this particular mountain lion. So Beth is here. Beth, how are you doing? First of all, how are you feeling emotionally?
Yeah, you know, thank you for having me back on. And I, even when we talked last week, I was feeling a little hopeful. Some of the more severity of his injuries were coming out, but I think it was the next day I got the updated briefing where it was just really hard. And this has been hard because I think we've all lost pets or animals or perhaps even family members that we want to grieve, but I didn't have to also be the public spokesperson, you know, for my pet. And so it's hard to kind of simultaneously grieve, but also do right by him, which is what I need to do, which is continue to tell his story. But it was really hard receiving that news.
Beth, what has been the reaction from the public that you've seen in regards? And I mean, like, not just in L.A., just, you know, P22, people knew him outside of the cities and even the state.
I think that's really helped. I mean, I knew he was loved. We knew he was loved around the world. But by God, he was trending on Twitter. You know, I mean, have you ever heard of a lion trending on Twitter? I mean, he's in People magazine, The Economist. People from all over the world are sharing that eulogy I wrote. I didn't expect it to be. I think it's
beautiful,
been shared.
Beth.
Thank you. That was written right after I saw him and told him goodbye. And it was really hard. But that so many people are responding to it.
What?
Yeah.
For people who don't understand why this decision had to be made, what were the extent of the injuries that people didn't think that he was going to be able to make a recovery and even go live in sanctuary somewhere?
Yeah, I, you know, as the person who the agencies, California Department of Fish and Wildlife, National Park Service, and the San Diego Zoo were keeping apprised every step of the way, they were looking at sanctuary. They had called sanctuaries. They were trying to locate it early, you know, on when he was captured that week. And then, again, I think we've all been in that position when we have a pet and you think, okay, let me bring him in. Might just be something routine and we get that. No, it's actually worse than you thought after the testing comes back. I know I've been there with some of my animals. They sat me down for an hour, which, you know, if you work in wildlife conservation, this is unprecedented that they would, you know, do this to a wildlife advocate who's not an agency folk. And they did it because they wanted to be transparent. And I applaud them for that. And I sat at that table and I'm crying. I mean, it was just a growing sense of despair. You had, you know, kidney failure, which is not curable. You had from the car strike, you know, at least externally, it looked like he just had a swollen head, which did go down, but his organs were herniating into his chest cavity. He couldn't breathe very well. He had heart disease. He had, you know, so it just, all these things were stacking up. And I apologize, there's a car going by. It's hard to find a quiet space in cities these days to, you know, to say anything. But anyway, the briefing was really hard because it just, all these things stacked up to where a sanctuary wasn't even possible. This was not going to be where we could let them out, you know, wandering around and pass peacefully. This was going to be a managed care existence, which would have been selfish. You can't treat a mountain lion for things you can treat like our domestic pets, where you can just, okay, kidney disease, we'll make them comfortable by giving them fluids. You have to put mountain lion under every time you do anything. And that itself is risky. So when they said to me after doing this, we unanimously are going to have to vote euthanasia, they were crying. But it was the right decision. It was really the right decision. I got to sit with him and talk with him, tell him he was a good boy, tell him we all loved him, but he was clearly suffering.
Beth, do you think because he was so loved and he meant so much to this city that there'll be some kind of memorial? Have there been any talks about that to keep, you know, the legacy going on?
Yes, and we'll have some foxes there for you, so I promise. yes, I just got off the phone, actually, with our events person. We're going to throw the biggest party LA's ever seen, and you're invited. Yes, you guys are guests of honor. Looking like we didn't want to rush it. Obviously, I just realized Christmas is next week. I'm like, oh, my God. So after the holidays, we hope to announce a date very soon. We're working with a couple venues. We want to allow as many people possible to be able to attend. So stay tuned. We're going to honor our boy Wright. Mm.
Beth, last question. We know that there are different sort of, P-22 was special because he was a mountain lion that crossed a couple of different freeways. He came to live at Griffith Park. He lived right there with human beings and became like a neighbor to so many people. But a lot of animals don't have that opportunity because it's very dangerous crossing the freeway. They don't have safe ways to cross freeways. Their habitat is being shrunk. And they end up dying because it's very hard to live with human beings. I know that there are a couple of different initiatives right now to build safe animal crossings, to help animals be able to roam more freely and move around so that maybe one day there might be another cat that captures everybody's hearts or something like that. But more to the point, whether or not they get famous or not, that these animals just have a way to move about the habitat that they live in. What are some of those things and where can people go to help raise awareness for ways to keep the wildlife safe?
Thanks for asking that, man. I mean, and that to me is what I'm, P-22's legacy, which we're celebrating, right? I mean, this is a sad story, yet he changed the world. And he, I mean, the Wallace Annenberg Wildlife Crossing is being built. And as I promised him when I sat with him, we're not stopping, you know. And he was the famous cat, but, you know, there's a whole list of B-listers, you know, right, in his pocket, you know, we also need to care for. And then beyond California, I just got back from COP15, as I think I told you last time, International Conference on Biodiversity, and they were talking about him there. He's inspired us to look differently around the world. So SaveLACougars.org is the campaign that protect him, but also to build wildlife crossings. You can go to that site to volunteer, find out more information, donate, whatever. We're going to build more. We are not stopping. I do not want this to happen to another mountain lion, and I promised P22 we wouldn't.
Thank you so much, Beth. Beth, make sure that you do something awesome for Beth. All right, you take breaks. Make sure that you've been so much on this. I've been following your page. I've been talking about it with everyone. It's really been something that's really opened my eyes to how we live with our natural world. So I appreciate everything that you do. And, you know, we'll keep the legacy of P22 going on. We thank you so much and appreciate you for joining us today here on Higher Learning. Yes,
I appreciate you both. Thank you both for having me.
No problem.
Of course. Bye, take care, Beth.
Beth was great. I miss P22.
Beth is great, and I'm excited about this memorial. Mm-hmm. And believe it or not, if I don't have a conflict, I will be attending the event.
I'm going to dress up like P22.
I don't know if that's necessary, but maybe you wear like a shirt, sweatshirt. How are you going to dress up like P22?
I was looking
at... You going to wear something around, a collar around your neck?
Nope. Can I answer the question? Damn.
Wow.
I saw mountain lion costumes online.
Man, I'm not gonna lie. I would love to see you dressed up as a mountain lion.
I will be P42, the fat mountain lion. It'd be my age, P42. I'll be P42, the Louisiana mountain lion, the fat Louisiana mountain lion. I come there, you know what I mean? Be me. I got a bag of chips. And I eat some chips.
All right, y'all, hold him to it. He's gonna dress up like mountain lion.
Whoa, hold on for a second. This is going to happen. When this happens, I'm going to go to this big event dressed up like P42, the fat Louisiana mountain lion. I don't know why you would think that I wouldn't do this. I'm going to do it.
We'll be looking forward to it.
Can't wait.
You know, Thought Warriors, we'll all come out. Come meet us. Come join us.
Come join us.
You'll recognize Van.
Take a picture with P42. All right. Elon Musk kicked all kinds of journalists off of Twitter. We're going to have Aaron Wupar on the podcast on Thursday. Actually, Friday. We're going to record it Thursday. It's going to be on Friday. To talk about being kicked off and then reinstated back on Twitter.
Yeah.
There was all kinds of backlash because Elon Musk had kicked these journalists off Twitter. He says it's because they have linked to a site called Elon Jet, which gives real-time data about where his private jet is. Mm-hmm. He claims that there was an incident where someone popped up on him thinking he was going to be in a specific car and his kid was in the car, and that this Elon Jet site is a site that doxes people and that mm-hmm. it's dangerous, and that if you link to any site that's doxing anyone, that you're done. You're off Twitter. Suspended. Mm. The journalists claim that some of them have linked to this site because they've been reporting on the site itself.
Sure.
Some of them are reporting on Elon Musk, and they say that this is a thinly veiled way, not so thinly veiled, for Elon Musk to attack journalists that are reporting on him, sometimes unfavorably.
Mm-hmm. I think that, well, one, it's a little hypocritical, seeing how the reason that he got on social or wanted to buy Twitter is so it would be this free space and, you know, all the First Amendment rights would be protected. And then here he is taking away several journalist accounts or suspending them, even though some said they called Twitter and they were told that they were completely banned from it. So it's really interesting. I can't wait to talk to the journalist that we're going to have on Friday, Aaron Wupar, because I want to know if he can give us some behind-the-scenes information of what happened, what went down, how he knew, you know, maybe if he even had talks with some of the people at Twitter, what they were telling him, if he's talked to some of the other journalists, what happens next, is he afraid to be on Twitter, or maybe that's, you know, of what he might say or do or follow or report on. Just interesting.
I'm glad that what's happening at Twitter is happening.
With this, or the fact that people don't want Elon Musk to step down, or they want him to, excuse me, that they want Elon Musk to step, they want Elon Musk to step down as CEO.
I'm glad that this is the shit show that it is. We're living in an era of hypercapitalism. We've been here for almost a generation and a half, maybe longer.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe it's always been since this country's been founded. Mm-hmm. Slaves, capitalism. And what you essentially had was a billionaire by the town forum where people come to talk, where people come to make jokes. And there was this worship of Elon Musk that he has really never, ever, ever been deserving of. Ever. And to see all of these different guys for who they really are,
mm-hmm,
is incredibly valuable to me. Elon Musk has proven that he is a vapid, insipid, ego-driven, insecure shell of a leader.
Mm-hmm.
That he is as detached from the average basic human experience as anyone that's had that type of power maybe has ever been, or maybe they all are. They probably are. And because of this, he doesn't have the function to understand how basic people relate to one another. And he owns and runs the forum where they talk. That is what happens in a society that has overvalued how much fucking money you make and how much fucking money you have. The dude that doesn't even know how to fucking relate to people can buy the platform where people, not in any profound way, talk to one another. We talk about Twitter, and Twitter has all kinds of problems.
Absolutely.
Twitter is...
It's dark.
It's siloed off. It's exploitive. It's mean. And all of those ways, right? Mm-hmm. Twitter is all of those things. But Twitter is also a lot of other things. Twitter is also where people get a lot of their political news. News travels faster on Twitter. Twitter is a place where people can go straight from, sometimes for better or from worse, straight from incident to reporting. It's a different way to engage with people who need to know things. It's a different way to spread information. And it needs to be better about vetting the information that's being spreaded and really getting to the core of who's spreading it and why. I get that. But to have one person be the tip of the spear there and one person decide, based upon his cult of personality, what goes and what doesn't. When Elon Musk runs a Twitter poll, he's running the most unscientific bullshit ever. There's a Twitter poll of essentially Elon Musk bros. I got him blocked, so I would never participate in one of those polls. But the point is, just seeing the fact that we're giving society away to the people who care the least amount about us, I think is very important, and I'm fascinated by it.
Do the way you just described Twitter, and then you talked about, but it's also these things, but they need to do a better job of vetting the information that's put out there. When you talked about it in all those negative ways, and then you couple that negativity with the negative part of the bad information that needs to be vetted through, isn't it symbolic that Elon Musk is the one then that's running it? Because is that not him?
Elon Musk.
That's him. So how great can you say Twitter is? Is him even buying Twitter and now being the person in charge? And I don't dare say the face of it, symbolic of the state that Twitter is in at this point. How good can, like, we can get our news from other places. I know what you mean. I get on the Twitter, too, and I look at my news. Twitter. But is the bad outweighing the good at this point when it comes to Twitter? And is Elon Musk being at the helm of it really representing that?
Interesting question. I think the bad is outweighing the good when it comes to almost anything. I think that when you look at the bad, it's important to discuss what the bad is, right? So I watch all these YouTube videos on different things. I'm curious. And so because I'm curious enough to watch a 20-minute YouTube video on hypersonic weapons, right? Mm-hmm. And then check the facts on the video. I'm curious enough to go, because I watched this video about the 10 strongest countries and the 10 weakest countries on Infographics, which is a great YouTube place, right? You watch an interview, it's the 10 strongest militaries and the 10 weakest militaries, all right? And I watched this Infographics thing. And it gets to number one. And obviously, the strongest military in the world is, let me ask you a question. For everybody here, real quick, just wondering, Donnie, what are the, I'm going to ask all you guys, what are the top three strongest militaries in the world? See if you guys know. Donnie, what do you think they are?
My guess would be our military, Russia's military, and China's military.
Ashley?
Our military, China's, and possibly England's military.
Okay. Rachel?
I would say ours and China.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know the third. It's not England, and I don't think it's Russia.
Okay. Donnie, shit on you guys. America's one, Russia's two, China's three.
Okay.
England is like eighth, right? The Great Britain is like eighth. They used to be a world power. The infographic thing is really interesting because it talks about how these countries used to maintain their military power. Some of the countries that they're talking about, Kosovo is the weakest military in the world. For myriad reasons, the country went through incredible political turmoil, and now they kind of don't even really have, whatever. So it's, but I asked a lot of people, it's like, what do you think the three strongest militaries in the world? People don't, South Korea's way up there, Japan is way up there, but they talked about the fact that the United States is by far the strongest military in the world, but there's still areas that we're lagging behind.
Mm-hmm.
We're lagging behind in the use and development of hypersonic weapons. I think, okay, what's a hypersonic weapon? I want to know about that. So then I watch a YouTube video, what is hypersonic weapons? And I'm downloading all this information in my mind about what hypersonic weapons are, how the Russians have them, how the Chinese have them, why the United States doesn't think that we need to be as invested into them. And then I start to think, what am I watching? Like, why does this person know what this is? So then I start doing the due diligence about hypersonic weapons, what they are, where they are, how they operate, and all of that stuff. Take the extra step so I'm not spouting some bullshit.
Most people do not do this.
And I think that's the issue. That's why the bad outweighs the good. The bad outweighs the good is because we also live in a society where we're purposefully kept and curious so that we're better workers and better consumers. Like, we're purposefully kept and curious. They don't really want you to know what, like, GMOs are. They don't really want you to know. They put all of that stuff on the back of the ingredients list, but they put it very small because they don't really want you to read it. Really, what they should do, if they wanted you to know exactly what was in some of the stuff that you were eating, you turn it on the back and it would be in big letters. Hey, high fructose corn syrup.
And this is what it does.
And this is what it, like, if they really want you, they don't really want you to know. And so I think the couple generations of us being incurious to drive us as consumers, and to drive us as dedicated workers is now leading to people that will believe whatever it is that they're told. Mm. And like literally, you send something, like, they'll believe whatever it is that they're told. They won't do the extra legwork because they're just used to being dictated to so they can move on to the next thing and think the next thought, right? And so I think part of that is on the platforms to be better about it. But I think part of this is also, and I'll bring it back to Elon Musk in a second, part of this is also a little bit about us to reshape what we believe and how we digest useful information, like what really is useful and what's mm-hmm. a useful conversation. I was on, like, we were having a conversation, me, Glasses, and Charlemagne earlier on the group text, and they were going back and forth, which my shit is blowing up right now because they're still having the same conversation. They were having a conversation about whether or not Jermaine Dupri.
Oh, God. 106 and Park.
Yeah, no, it wasn't 106 and Park. Oh. It was like, broke Jay-Z, whether or not he broke Jay-Z to the South with the song called Money and the Thing. And we were talking about this, and after a while, I'm like, yo, what the fuck are we talking about? And these are two of the smartest guys that I know. And sometimes you just talk about shit like that. Mm-hmm. I know everybody wants to talk about anything that has to do with Jay-Z. Mm-hmm. Jermaine Dupri is saying that, you know, he invented the telegram and all of that. So he's saying so many things now. But I just think and as it relates to Twitter, there's actually real information that people need to get. And there are people that are on Twitter that need to be able to disseminate that information. And Elon Musk, the electric car dude, and essentially the world's shrewdest capitalist, is deciding what's kosher to be on Twitter.
Yeah, he is. Which is what he always wanted to do, which is why he bought it.
I feel like I went on too long about the hypersonic weapons. I want to do a segment called What I Learned This Week. I learned so much this week.
I wish that I got into YouTube like that.
You don't get into it?
I really use YouTube for like ASMR.
Freaky motherfucker, you.
I told you I like ASMR.
Y'all getting freaky over here.
Has nothing to do with being freaky. Don't
that ASMR shit is freaked
it
out.
It depends what type of ASMR. I don't listen to that type of ASMR.
Crackle, crackle, crunch, pop, pop. Like
that. Okay, anybody listening to that does not want to go to sleep.
Crackle, crackle, listen to this fire.
I actually like when people talk a little bit.
That's so freaky, though. You like when people whisper to you like that?
I like the whispering.
Oh, God, Daddy.
That's not what they're saying.
It's like the type of situation.
And I like the hard sounds that they, like, when they talk like this.
When they talk like this.
And I like brushing. I like the brushing sound. I like...
Rachel is a freak, man.
That is
Rachel's like, I like this.
I told you before.
I love listening to ASMR. I love the sound of bare ass cheeks sitting on a cold linoleum floor. Like, it's just like, it's so, that's, okay. Well, look, hey, I'm into all kinds of things, you know? So I'm saying, you know, people, JOI videos and things like that. But you know, it's all kinds of stuff. So, like, if I'm looking at my past videos that I've watched, it's like, it's just like a lot of different stuff that you can learn. Tactical newts, potent weapon or overhyped. How the pyramids were built. A tutorial on how to gritty. U.S. Navy SEALs versus U.S. Navy SEAL Team 6 versus the Delta Force. Who would win? Navy SEALs versus Green Beret. Proven health benefits of ginseng. You know what I mean? Easiest and hardest countries to take over. There's all of this stuff. It's just a lot of stuff. It's like, I don't know, man. It's like fun stuff to the fun stuff to watch. Anyway, got to move on with the podcast. We went too far. I'm sorry, guys. I'll talk to you guys all about hypersonic weapons on another podcast. It's really good. Interesting. I thought about something basically based on what we were talking about earlier.
Okay.
Because we were talking about the Meg trial now. The Tory Lanez trial.
Correct.
The Tory Lanez trial is a fucking disaster.
Yeah.
Everything is all fucked up.
I have my theory.
What's your theory? You think Tory Lanez has paid off everyone?
I didn't say everyone, but it's...
Kelsey?
I'm trying to think why your story would change so much.
Uh-huh.
And for what you were about to talk about, because at this point it's come out that Megan's former bodyguard is missing and didn't appear for testimony during the trial. He had given a statement before, so we knew some of the things that he was going to testify to. One of those things being that Edison, that's his name, what's his first name? Justin. Justin Edison told prosecutors that Lanez confessed to him being, quote, too drunk and shooting in the air and at the ground. There has been an update.
What's the update?
They found him.
Where is he at?
You got to be. So my theory is correct. Okay, my theory is that he has money, right? That somebody paid him off, which is why he no longer wants to testify what would be against Tory Lanez.
Right.
Megan Thee Stallion's ex-bodyguard living it up in Qatar.
Oh, that's what...
I Breaking news.
This nigga went to the World
A
Cup.
A source close to Justin Edison told Media Takeout on Sunday that, quote, Justin was hired as personal security for a very important person and is currently in Qatar while the person he is protecting is at the World Cup, which is over.
So what?
So like, he could come home.
But people could still be partying out there. So, wait. Is this guy working or is he partying up at the World Cup?
They're saying he, well, the headline is he's living it up in Qatar. But he's, it's the insider saying that he is providing bodyguard services to a very important person, which, I mean, listen, he used to be Megan Thee Stallion's bodyguard. It's very likely he could be, but they're I'm saying sure he won't return to the U.S. until Thursday.
Okay. Well, I would imagine the trial will be over by then.
Well, and just to remind people why his testimony is so also important, Kelsey Harris is the one, she texted him when she said, help, Tory shot Meg.
He can't testify, like, via, no, because they have, like, specific lines. Like, he can't testify, like, go to some place in Qatar and testify via Zoom or something.
That's a good question. They do testimony. I mean, remember Johnny Depp trial? Kate Moss didn't appear. She testified.
Yeah.
From a distance. But I don't know what the rules are.
Yeah, he's in another country. I'm guessing it would be difficult to wrangle him. So I do want to talk about one thing earlier that you said in regards to Gunna that was interesting to me. But I want to be, this trial is becoming such a farce that we're forgetting what it is that's being litigated.
Absolutely. We're not even calling the trial the right thing.
So the trial has become such an episode of P-Valley that we're forgetting that this trial is trying to decide who shot a woman.
Correct.
After a night of drinking and bullshit. Who shot a black woman after a night of drinking and bullshit.
Which is undisputed.
Which is undisputed that she was shot.
Right.
If you don't care that Megan Thee Stallion was shot, or you don't care who shot her, that says a lot about you.
Yes, it does.
It does. That says a lot about you. This is not, you know, these things get into the public arena and we tend to look at them as if they're some way, and I've done it. We've all done it. I made a Photoshop of Kelsey when I had the poster from the movie Memento where the guy can't remember what just happened yesterday. And we're it's funny, but like the basis of this is incredibly serious. And if in fact Tory Lanez was the shooter in this case, if Tory Lanez was the shooter in this case, Tory Lanez needs to be put in prison.
Absolutely.
Is not fit to be around black. I wouldn't be comfortable with Tory Lanez being around you.
Mm-hmm.
I wouldn't be comfortable with Tory Lanez being around any woman that I cared about. Anybody, period.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And then coupled with, it's a lie that he has told over and over and over again and even made, not lied of it, but been very flippant about it when talking, you know, on social media or even in his songs lyrically. So this is definitely not a person I would trust or want to be around at all.
If in fact he is the shooter.
If in fact he's the shooter.
People think you're biased on the Tory and Megan case.
Yeah, and I've kind of admitted to that in the sense
you've admitted to your bias.
Well, yeah, but I think I have to be because of the way people are talking about this trial. From the beginning, right, it became about Megan. Megan's the victim here. We know she was shot at the end of the day. People are calling it the Megan Thee Stallion trial, and I'm sure some of that is because she is the bigger celebrity, but she is not on trial. This is the state against Tory Lanez. Let's be very clear about that.
The state against Daystar Peterson.
Fine. This against Daystar Peterson, his government name. We need to be very clear about that. And that is how we should frame talking about this case. And we're not. And so I feel we shouldn't even be, you know, in the public court of public opinion litigating things about Megan. Megan was shot. We know that. And the state's job is to find out who pulled the trigger.
Hmm. So earlier you said about Gunna, you said that
he lied.
Gunna lied.
Mm-hmm.
And so because Gunna came out and he lied, that makes people, you don't think that you're a little harder on the fact that Gunna lied than you are on the fact that Meg Thee Stallion lied when she talked to Robin Roberts?
So I told you, I explained last week why Megan had to lie, right?
Well, so you don't think that that same
thing? So I'm asking you, why are you saying Gunna had to lie?
Because his life would be on the line.
Why did he lie to the public? That I'm asking you.
Okay, and I'll answer.
His life was on the line for that? I'm not talking about why he had to get out.
Oh, no. I want you to listen.
Okay.
I like, so...
Because Glasses had a problem with... He probably had a problem with Megan, too, so let me shut up.
Glasses.
let me shut up.
So, let's look at the two things and compare them, right? If we're looking at two people that lied. Gunna's lawyer said he did lie, but I think that's kind of bullshit, right? So, Gunna's entire personality, his entire career, everything is based around his ability to make street music.
Okay.
Even where Gunna moving around, I don't know if you saw a video of Gunna, of somebody in front of his car, what they thought was his car, throwing cheese in front of his car, right? Yeah, throwing cheese in front of his car. He was supposed to do a giveaway at Walmart where he was going to go and give away $100,000 to a bunch of families. They had to get rid of that because of security concerns, right? Other members affiliated with YSL who are saying things, little slick shit, that like, oh, we knew that there were going to be some guys that maybe weren't solid and we shouldn't have embraced them and blah, 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 blah. Like, where Gunna is from, and Gunna has security and all of that stuff, but for him to move around, being a snitch is like a big fucking deal. And there might be people that press him. There might be people that want to take a chunk out of his ass. And then just from the standpoint of his career, he would definitely want to lie about whether or not he had cooperated with the state in order to protect what he's built for the last 6 or 7 years or however long he's been popping. And for the fact that where he from going back to Atlanta, being a snitch around there, there might be some people that want to play him. So he lied. Mm-hmm. And it's interesting that that lie means that people should treat Gunna in a certain way. But Meg lied to Gail. And then we should have to understand all of the reasons why she would tell that lie. And I do understand all of those reasons, but...
No, I'm not going to go through the reasons. I'm going to tell you the difference between the two that
sure.
I think.
Okay.
So, Gunna lied to protect his reputation, to protect his profession as a rapper. And
his safety, I believe. And to preserve his safety so that people did not try to attack him, like, because he's
because
not
he's presented himself. I say presented. I really don't know his upbringing, but he comes from the streets, I guess. Like that.
Yeah.
I don't want to say it's an image if that's who he is.
Mm-hmm.
So to protect all of that. What was Megan lying to protect?
She was lying to protect. I mean, that's a question for you.
I believe Megan was lying to protect her because he's lying, I had it in my head when you're talking about. Well, let me finish this part.
Mm-hmm.
She is lying to protect, in my opinion, her very being as a black woman, something that she was born as, not something that she chose.
What do you mean?
I mean, he chose to be a rapper.
She chose to be a rapper.
She chose
too.
To be a black woman.
Wait a minute.
The stereotype. Wait a minute. He is being called a snitch,
uh-huh.
right? It's affecting his reputation
right.
for all that. She's being attacked, and stereotypes are being placed on her as a black woman. His stereotypes are being placed on him as a rapper, as being the things that he raps about.
Mm-hmm.
Choices. She's, as a black woman, these are stereotypes that are just placed on us just for simply being a black woman. I guess to me, that's the difference.
Okay, so...
If they were stereotypes as a rapper, or because she's from a certain place in Houston or whatever, that's different. But this is her... These are stereotypes being placed that are placed on black women in general, which is why she lied.
So Gunna is from a specific place where snitches get beat up or killed, right? So he doesn't want to be a snitch because he still is around a group of people. Where
and he chose to go into a lifestyle where they glorify not being a snitch. Can as a rapper.
Question?
As a rapper.
Can I ask you a question? Did Meg Thee Stallion choose? Wait a second. Can you make an argument that Meg Thee Stallion chose a lifestyle where people are curious about sexuality as it regards to her?
I think it's on us, period, as black women.
Yeah, but what you're doing right now, you're saying, but you're talking about the fact that it's on us, period, right? You know, and it's on a lot of people, period, but you're Meg Thee Stallion, like, Meg Thee Stallion is an overtly, it's not crazy to want to be curious about who Meg Thee Stallion is fucking. Meg Thee Stallion is an overt, and to me, I don't think there's anything wrong. If she wants to be like, yo, don't ask me who I'm fucking, don't ask me this, that's cool. And I'm not saying that because she makes any type of songs or whatever, but like, sex is a part of the conversation with Meg Thee Stallion.
But it was going to be the only conversation that people had if she had said she did sleep with him in that interview with Gayle, rather than the fact that she's a victim in it.
I know.
And that is because of stereotypes that are placed on black women, not because she's overtly sexual in her songs even in her performances.
So what you're saying is that
Gunna committed a crime.
Right.
She's a victim.
Gunna didn't commit a crime, though. So Gunna was
was charged for a crime.
So what Gunna is saying and what people believe is Gunna is saying I didn't commit a crime. That there was no crime. But the more important thing is, so if to me, somebody lying to preserve their
image
or their safety, to me is the same as somebody lying to preserve their dignity. It's like one and the same. It's the same thing.
I don't think she just lied to preserve her dignity.
What did she lie to preserve then? She lied to preserve
her dignity as a black woman. Fine. Use the word dignity. Her dignity as a black woman for her very existence.
Okay.
Like, you say Gunna didn't commit a crime. Did he not make a, did he not, not settles not
he pled her, guilty he, to, he pled guilty to some crimes.
Okay, yeah. You just said he didn't commit a crime.
Well, so what I'm going to tell you right now is that what Gunna and his people say is that Gunna was never supposedly a criminal, right? Gunna was wrapped up.
Okay, he's affiliated.
Right. So Gunna was wrapped up in YSL, and being wrapped up in YSL, according to this RICO indictment, is tantamount to racketeering and to all of these other things. And if you ask me, nobody thinks that Gunna was involved in any of this stuff. If you ask me, they got Gunna because they knew that Gunna kind of wasn't a certain way and that they could get him to either roll or allocute.
Well, they had something on him, even if he wasn't the main crime.
What they had on him was that he was a part of YSL.
Okay, great. Right. But I still don't think you can compare the two. It's not two people who lied in the public eye. Gunna's being charged with something, pled guilty to something, and Meg is a victim here. So, like, the lies, they both lied is the only comparison
not,
in my
I,
eyes.
But, like, to me, the reason why I don't, like, I understand that Meg is the victim. But the reason why I think that the two things are similar is because, first of all, Gunna's lie didn't have anything to do with his court case. It had to do with public perception.
Sure.
It had to do with the public perception of him. And my thing is, I don't care that he lied, but if you say that it's okay to make fun of Gunna because he lied.
I never said it was okay to make fun of. I just told you the jokes that they were saying.
I know, but earlier.
I actually think it's terrible what's happening now.
I know, but earlier on, when it was like, I'm like, well, why are we doing this to Gunna? Or like, why are we putting Gunna in this position? And look, I'm not a street nigga, so it's like, well, Gunna lied. Well, I'm like, well, if we're gonna come down on Gunna because he said something that wasn't true to protect his image. And by the way, in this particular case, let me tell you something else. In this particular case, and I'll say it again, and we don't have to relitigate this again. In this particular case, the reason why it would have been important for a lot of people for her to have been truthful in that situation was because there were a lot of people that said, this lady said this, I believe her, because this is what we should do. So in that case, the people that supported you, mm-hmm. I think you owe it to them. Look, I believe that Tory Lanez shot Meg.
I know.
But I think that she deserves some criticism for having told that lie on national television when so many people were at her back. And if that and definitely if we're not gonna get her, if we're not gonna okay, last thing. If we're not going to criticize her for lying, then we definitely shouldn't criticize Gunna for lying.
You're conflating two separate things. First off, you started off comparing the two, that they both lied, and how is it different? You're not remembering what I said last time. I said, I don't agree with her lying. So I understand the criticism for the lie. Just like I said, I understand why people are coming at Gunna because he lied. But what I said with Meg is, I understand the why behind it. So I'm not giving her...
I understand the why behind Gunna.
And I can understand the why for him too, especially in regards to his safety.
Yeah.
I get it. So that's why I'm like, you're not quite articulating what I exactly said, because I said Megan was wrong for lying, but I understand why she did it. So in the same sense, I understand. Look at I posted it on social media. I said that's exactly what I said.
What?
And I believe that. And I'll stand by that same thing for Gunna. I don't agree with the lie, but I understand why he did it.
Yeah.
But I still think it's not the same with Megan.
It's not the same with Megan because, okay, it's fine.
It's not the same. Because it's stereotypes based on her being a black woman.
There's no stereotypes put on Gunna based on being a guy from the street.
Based on being a rapper, too.
No. I can't, if I'm from Baton Rouge, now first of all, niggas know. I'm not doing any crimes. And if I see you, I'm not like glasses. If I see you shooting at some shit, and you know, like, I'm the nigga, yo, it was a white van, blah, 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 it was around here, get them, okay? But where I'm from, you can't be no snitch. You can't be no snitch. They will kill you. Like, you can't, not only will they kill you, not only will they kill you.
They'll come after you.
The people around you, get fucked over if they know, man.
So do you think he's going into witness protection at this point?
No, he's not going into goddamn witness protection.
I mean, if he's a snitch and the streets are after him and then
I'm not saying that the streets are after him. I'm saying that the reason why he might want to lie about it is because there's all kinds of reasons. Of course, the main reason is you can't be a snitch and be a hot rapper, allegedly.
If we're talking health and safety, fine, one thing. But, like, when you talk about, like, he can't be a snitch because his career is over with.
You don't care about that.
Then I'm like.
You don't care about.
That's not the same thing as Megan to me. Like, I get the health and safety. I get the health and safety. I get, or not health, but I get the safety part of it.
Ooh, I could be so toxic on this if I wanted to.
Yeah, I think you already are.
I'm toxic.
Just like people are going to come at me and they're like, Rachel's so biased when it comes to a black woman. You know, that's all that she sees. Black women, I mean, this is the kind of stuff people are writing to me.
Right.
Black women can do anything that they want because, you know, you can't say anything about a black woman. And I'm like, gosh, do you know what black women have been through and continue to go through in this country?
Mm-hmm.
Like, yes, I am going to fully throw my support behind Megan. I can say when she's wrong about something, but I can also say I understand why she did it. Right. I do think it's different, and now I'm repeating myself, so I'm not going to go there, but I do think it's different.
Know who else thinks it's different? Soup Kitchen. I can't wait. You're about to get everything that you deserve. The Gunna fans about to come for you. The Gunna fans about to come for you. You about to... Rachel, I'm going to tell you right now. Donnie... It's a new podcaster on the block over at iHeart. Run the trailer, Donnie.
Can I do breaking news really quickly? I know we keep talking about Meg and Tory, but did you see that there's a report that a juror was seen in the elevator?
I saw that, yeah.
With Tory Lanez
and
his team, but allegedly there was no discussion.
Yeah, jurors in the...
Okay,
yeah.
We already know, allegedly, I should say, it seems like it appears there was witness tampering.
Tamper.
And now juror. I'm just saying. That should never happen. His team should have removed themselves from the elevator. Should have never happened. It's also intimidation. But go ahead.
Tory Lanez, man. Oh, Donnie, run the audio from the brand new podcaster.
It was good.
Do you feel ready?
I think. I don't know. A little nervous. I have not spoken publicly for 2 years about this. And I have a lot of thoughts, and I've I think about this every day, truly every day of my life. I think about this and what I want to say and how important it is that I speak to everyone for the first time. So it's heavy. It's really heavy. We'll see how it goes. We may scrap this whole thing, to be honest. I don't know. But I think it'll be cathartic. I'm looking forward to getting this off my shoulders and repairing this, moving forward, and letting everybody hear for me. So we ready?
We're ready.
Okay, let's do it. Let's see what happens. All right, first episode. Here we go in 3, 2. Hello, everybody, and welcome to the most dramatic podcast ever.
Wow. The most dramatic podcast ever. So this is Chris Harrison.
That's a bachelor saying. You know that.
Is it?
Mm-hmm. He always says, it's the most dramatic season ever. So he's playing off that.
So he is back in Batch World with this podcast.
No, I don't think, only in regards to the topic that he just referred to in that audio.
It's called the most dramatic.
I think he's just playing off one of his most famous catchphrases. There won't be bachelor talk, I would assume.
Question for you. Have you been asked to be on this podcast? This is Chris Harrison, most dramatic podcast ever. And secondly, if you were asked to be on this podcast with Chris Harrison, would you do it?
I was not asked, and I would not be on it.
You would not do the podcast with Chris Harrison.
Mm-mm.
If Chris Harrison wanted to have a conversation with you on the podcast,
mm-mm,
you would not do it.
Mm-mm.
Why?
Because it's been almost 2 years since that happened. And the last time that you had any communication with me was after I said we should just accept his apology after he was on Good Morning America and move on. And then you text me and said, thanks for what? Because Michael Strahan was like, I don't think the apology was sincere. So, like, you know, people turned on Chris again or went harder on him. And I said what I said. And he wrote me and said, you know, I think we should just, you know, I appreciate what you had to say. We should go have dinner. So that was over a month after the initial thing happened. So you never reached out to me in between when I was going through all of what I was on social media. But, you know, you're in the media telling everybody I'm your friend. So you reach out to me when I say something that is in your favor. It's the first time you reach out. I have not talked to him since. That was March 2020. So now you would reach out to me to come be a part of your podcast. That you want to have a conversation with me on the mic, in public, for clicks. That's what it would be for. It would be for, because everybody would listen, a sit down. No, I'm not going to give you that. And if it was genuine, you would already hit me up. You've unfollowed me on social media at this point. You've cleared your social, moved on, new chapter. When you moved on from that new chapter, I was not a part of it. I think that when he does this podcast, I would imagine he signs some sort of NDA. Right. So I think that this will just be him for the first time saying how he felt with it all, the aftermath, losing that job, how it's affected him.
You don't think your name comes up anywhere in this situation?
No, I think he'll refer to it as the interview when that happened.
Okay.
I do. I don't think he wants to touch that because then it's going to, you know, elicit a response from me.
Uh-huh.
And then, you know, it goes back and forth because if he comments on me with any sort of, it's one thing if he's like, you know, I haven't talked to Rachel. Okay, well, then there's nothing to talk about. But if there's some sort of comment, believe it, we're going to talk about it here on Higher Learning. Now, if he wants to come to Higher Learning and have a conversation.
So you've invited him
multiple times.
I'm just putting this out there again. Chris Harrison, that's his name? Chris Harrison.
You called him Soup Kitchen for so long,
I forgot his name, Soup Kitchen. Chris Harrison, come on the podcast, please. I'm being completely sincere. Which camera is it, Donnie? This one? I'm being totally sincere, Chris Harrison. This is a real olive branch with Greek olives on it. The good kind of olives. Come on the podcast. It's only Rachel. What could go wrong in a conversation between you and Rachel, Chris? What could possibly go wrong? Come on the podcast.
That's what got us here.
Come on the podcast.
Yeah. I'm sick.
Chris, you duck. Hold on for a second. Hold on. Chris, nigga, On God, dog, for real. All jokes aside. Hold on for a second.
Donnie.
All jokes aside, Chris, bro, on some real shit, dog, you ducking the smoke. That pod, Color Purple. Chris, until you come on Higher Learning, that podcast not going to take off. That bitch going to be like number one first week. Watch. Until you come on Higher Learning.
It's going to be the first week.
Like, that podcast not going to take off. Come on Higher Learning. Scary ass.
Now he's coming for sure.
Well, hold on. Take the scary ass part out. But hold on. Don't take it out. But I'm sorry, Chris. I'm taking it.
He's definitely coming on out. Good news is he's out the kitchen. Right?
No, hell no.
He's still there?
We have him on tape making soup. Donnie Renette. like, no, we don't know yet. He's just got a bit of... Okay. Last topic. We'll save Van Lathan Animal Agent for Thursday. Do you think Lizzo makes music for white people?
I think Lizzo just makes music.
That's such a cop-out.
No, it's not.
Like, that's such a cop-out.
I think I don't like when people are... Lizzo is making the type of music that she wants to make, right? In a specific genre. If black people are into it, they're into it. If white people, if Latinos, if Asian, if, you know, whatever it may be, are into it, they're into it. I guess I'm exhausted with that commentary of like, well, she only makes music for this or for that. She's just making music.
Is it possible that you can just make music?
And one culture
and that
might...
music is for white people.
Well, that one culture might be more receptive to it than the other. Absolutely.
Because that's what happens, right?
Because she makes more pop music. And I would say white people consume pop music, or non-black people, I should say, consume pop music more than blacks.
Is it wrong to say that she makes music for white people, you feel like?
I do. And I understand why she gets defensive over it and that it's hurtful. Because she... is very black and proud.
Run the audio, Donnie.
It's an unfair criticism, and it only goes towards stifling whatever you have inside of you. I mean, it's a hurtful thing to hear that, right?
Very hurtful. Only because, like, I am a black woman, and I feel like it really, like, challenges, like, my identity and who I am and diminishes that. I think is really hurtful. And then on the other end, it's like I'm making funky, soulful, feel-good music that is so similar to a lot of black music that was made for black people in the 70s and 80s. And, you know, and then on top of that, my message is literally for everybody and anybody. Right. And I don't, you know, try to gatekeep my message from people. So.
Okay.
See?
So if you don't try to gatekeep your message from people, then, I mean, why?
You're reaching. Why what? Why what, man? Why what? Say it.
I had Ava DuVernay on the Red Pill one time. And I asked Ava DuVernay, we were talking about When They See Us. Mm-hmm. I asked Ava DuVernay, I said, hey. How do you want white people to view this? You know what Ava said? I don't care.
Good
she said her. It was far from my mind when I was making this about what white people would think about it or how white people would do it.
And it should have been.
It should have been, right? She made that for us. I'm not saying that Lizzo's music is.
Did she say she made it for us?
All right. Who?
Or did she say? Ava? Did she just say I didn't make it for them and I don't care? I don't care what they think about it because I think there's a difference.
Let me be honest with you. I just think that it's okay if your music is for white people.
It's okay if white people. It's the way you say it. Her music isn't for white people. She makes music. And more white people consume it.
Is Macklemore's music for white people?
He's a white rapper.
What difference does it make?
I shouldn't say it like that because then you have the M&Ms. He's a pop rapper.
Okay.
And so I think that white people consume that. I don't think black people are into that.
So what's the difference?
So,
because Lizzo's black, I would imagine.
So, do you think every musical artist makes music for a particular type of person?
I think a lot of them do.
Okay.
I think a lot of musical artists, not every musical artist, but I think a lot of musical artists, when you make certain kinds of music, you sit down and you go, like, this music, sometimes music is of a certain culture. Mm-hmm. Even if it's not for a certain culture, it's of a certain culture.
That makes sense.
It's decidedly black and all of that.
Because of the genre.
And then other people might, like it. But, like, when you say you're making, when you say you're doing this for the hood, like you're making music for the streets, that doesn't mean that only the streets are going to be into it, but you're making music for those people.
Sure. Black Star definitely was up there singing music for black people to a majority white audience. 1, 2, 3. I was into it.
I'll tell you what. I don't think Liz.
I think
Lizzo's music is great. I think that Lizzo is fun.
I think there's a difference in exactly what you said.
Which is what?
Well, you said of a culture versus for a culture.
So what we're talking about is the intent that she's making music for white people.
I don't think she's intentionally making music for
white people. But I do think that they probably fuck with it a little bit more.
They definitely do.
Right. So I think that if she wanted to change that, wouldn't she have to? Because the first time I ever heard of Lizzo is like a white girl told me that Lizzo was the dopest. This is true.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, you don't listen to that type of music.
That shit, but what she told me to listen to that shit, though?
You were into.
That shit is good.
She's great.
Yeah, she's a great musician. Shout out to Prince.
Because I would say right now, Lizzo's music is of TikTok. Her
TikTok should be banned.
About damn time. That blew up because of TikTok. Damn time. That blew up because of TikTok.
Get him in there. Send him in there to pump me up.
I was shocked when I heard the rest of the song. I was like, these are the same songs?
But doesn't that song seem like About Damn Time? Okay, take that song. Doesn't that song seem like it would be at the beginning of like a sitcom about a white girl trying to make her way in the city? I'm just being for real. Like,
I could see her with the backpack on. She's in the back end. I'm looking out at the building.
You know, she's walking around the building. She's trying to make her way in a new city.
Throws her hat up in the street, turns around.
And then it's like, okay, whatever.
It's time to go.
Yeah, it's time to go. Donnie, who won the Gunna versus Meg Thee Stallion debate?
That was a draw. That was tough. Y'all made both some good points. I feel like that's something the fuck for the Thought Warriors.
You know, like you
did up for them.
Like Donnie, you always sell out. You only had my back one time during this whole thing, and that was for the greatest movie that me and Donnie are gonna make together. Hey, I gotta tell y'all something for real. I'm gonna be totally for real. You know what else I did this weekend? No bullshit. I wrote a treatment for Pain and Love. I swear. And if enough people want to see it, I'll put it on the Reddit. I'm telling you, I wrote a treatment. I had to change it
Can
a little bit.
Can you register it first before you like,
before I did, put, if put enough it people want to see if enough people want to see it, I wrote a treatment for Pain and Love. There's a good story there's a good story. Not quite, because you'd have to change actors. Cause you couldn't make Leo black, but you could bring in like Sterling K. Brown, and then that could be. I wrote a treatment for Pain and Love. I'm telling you, Pain and Love could be like a Black Mirror. All right, Black Mirror episode. Take things kiss off, but do not stop learning. By the time we come back Friday, guys, there's a chance that we'll have.
Who's playing that? Did you request this?
No, they did. Pain and Love. By the time we come back Friday, is there a chance that we'll have a verdict in the Tory Lanez trial?
Possibly. Unless.
What?
Maybe they hold out to get testimony if this bodyguard, if what is said was true with media takeout from that insider, then it's possible that they could wait till he returns for his testimony.
Okay. We'll see. All right, take the caps off, but do not stop learning. I'm Van Lathan Jr.
I'm Rachel Lynn Lindsay. Bye, guys.